privilege to get to be here today and preach. First time I preached at Hillcrest Baptist Church was 40 years ago. Some of you might even been alive then. If I remember correctly, the pastor's name was Bill Fetters. Harold, you remember? Yeah, you are old enough though. Yeah. Bill Fetters. That was the first time I preached here in a revival. And then the second revival was right here when this auditorium was first dedicated. And Brother Fred Bobby was the pastor. 1 John chapter 5. Beginning in verse 11. It's an important passage, so listen carefully. And this is the record. When you hear those words, that means, hey, there's something coming up you need to pay attention to. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things, in 1 John, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. It's important that we not only be saved, but we know that we're saved. Look at verse 13 again. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may what? Know that you have eternal life, and that you might believe on the name of the Son of God. Now let's pray. Father, we thank you for every promise in the Word of God. We also realize that many people do not have the assurance that you want us to have. And I pray tonight that as we think about these things, it'll have an effect on our own commitment to you and our own assurance of what you've done for us through Jesus Christ. In your precious holy name we pray. Amen. There are a lot of things that we need to know, and there are a lot of things we know we didn't need to know. But I'm thinking about two things in particular that it's very important for us to know. One is, we need to know beyond a doubt that it is the will of God for every lost person to be saved. That's why Jesus died on the cross. He died that sinners could be saved. And it's important for us to know that because it'll affect the way we evangelize. It'll affect the way we talk to people around us about Jesus and how to be saved. It's in 2 Peter 3:9 that the Bible said, God is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. It's the will of God for every unsaved person to be saved. Are they all going to be saved? No. But we also have a will, and we can say yes or we can say no to Jesus. There's that passage in 1 Peter 2:4 that says that God will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So mark it down. God wants people to be saved. He died in order that people might be saved. He went to the cross in order that we might be saved. We need to know that. A second thing it's important to know is God wants us to know for sure if we are saved. And you can say amen to that one. God wants us to know for sure if we're saved. There's a passage in the Old Testament in the book of Job. You remember Job. He had a rough time. He had lost his family, his children. He had lost his assets, his financial support. He had lost everything but his health, his life, and his wife, and she was a liability. She had said, curse God and die. And Job's testimony in the midst of all of this is recorded in the 19th chapter. And by then he had lost his health also. And he says in 19:25, following, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." He had absolute knowledge in the midst of all kinds of tragedies. "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." And then he adds in verse 27, "Whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." If you ask Job, "Do you think you're really going to be in heaven when you die?" The answer's right there. "I believe that. No matter what happens to this body I live in, one day I'm going to see the Lord face to face." He had assurance of salvation. In 2 Timothy, Paul's coming to the end of his life. And in the first chapter, he has the last part of that verse. He says, "I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." He had an assurance that he knew the Lord. So it's the will of God for lost people to be saved? Yes. It's the will of God for saved people to know they're saved. Let me ask you a question. Has there ever been a time in your life when you had a question, a doubt maybe, "Am I really saved?" Most Christians that I've ever talked to about it have told me that, yes, there have been times when I had to deal with doubt. So let's think about some reasons why people doubt. One reason why people doubt is because some people who have churchianity do not have Christianity. Not everyone who is a member of the church is really saved. There'll probably be enough Baptists in hell to start a denomination. Not everyone who is religious, who says that they're a Christian. I had a fellow tell me one day in Fort Worth, down to Maine in 15th Street, talked to him about the Lord. He said, "Well, I guess I'm a Christian. I live in America. It's a Christian nation." Well, that doesn't make you a Christian. Heard Billy Graham say one time, "If you were born in a hospital, would that make you a doctor? Or if you were born in a garage, would that make you an automobile?" Not likely. Not likely. There's a passage in the Sermon on the Mount, 7th chapter of Matthew. It's in chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Now listen to verse 22. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out demons? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Think about that. Prophesied, spoke forth the word, cast out demons, did wonderful works. A fellow brought that verse to me one day and said, "This verse proves to you that you can be lost after you've been saved." No, it doesn't. Notice what Jesus said. He said to them, "I never knew you. I did not know you when you were doing all these wonderful religious things. I never knew you." It is not enough to go to church. It's not enough to be baptized. It's not enough to be outwardly religious. We must have a new birth from the Lord. We have to be born again. So many people doubt, rightly so, and I hope they keep doubting until they get saved, if they're not really a Christian. Now there's another reason why people doubt. Real Christians do this. Because sometimes we have a misconception of what it means to be saved. I don't know where I got this idea, but I was not saved until I was 17 years old. And I had in my mind that when I came to meet the Lord, it would be like balance scales. All my bad deeds would be on one side, And all my good deeds would be on the other side, and whichever one made it, that's where I'd go. Well, I figured out pretty young that I'm kind of out of balance here. Know how that's going to work. But that's not the way it works. That's not the way you get saved. Some people get the idea that if I could just quit certain things, I could go to heaven. I told you I was saved when I was 17 years old. I had a little habit. I don't know how bad it was with you either, but my mother said it was bad, so I knew it was bad. But when I was about third grade, I started smoking. My dad smoked a pipe, and he bought his tobacco in a 3-pound jar. And so I began to dip in that when I was about the third grade and roll my own. Well, by the time I'm in high school, I'm addicted. 2 or 3 packs of cigarettes a day. Then just before my senior year of high school, I got saved in a revival meeting. Well, my mother told me that was sinful, or had told me that several times. And so I figured it was. And I took that package and threw it out behind the First Baptist Church in Gunner, Texas, and quit. I went home that night. I'm reading my Bible. It's about midnight. And I had a nicotine fit. Did you ever have one? I had a nicotine fit. I lived in a small town. There was not a place in Gunner, Texas, you could buy cigarettes at midnight. But I knew where a part of a package was. I got up, put my jeans on, went down to the First Baptist Church with a flashlight, and I found them. And I fired up. And I wasn't half through until I could almost hear the devil say, "You didn't get it, did you?" But there's a lot of things worse than smoking a cigarette. But I did finally quit it. But I do want you to know that the devil used that to plant in my mind a doubt that created some problems for me. Sometimes we have a concept in our mind that the Christian life is perfection, and it is not. Remember that passage in Galatians that says, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other. There's a warfare that goes on in our life. Someone said, when someone is saved, the song before the benediction should be, "The fight is on." There's a battle that takes place. There's a warfare in the life of the Christian. And you can be sure of that. The devil's going to throw everything at you that he can. I got saved, and the very next day, a deacon who lived across the road from us came over to see me, and he gave me a verse to memorize. I don't know what the first verse was you ever memorized, but the first verse I memorized was 1 Corinthians 10:13. I didn't know John 3:16 then. But 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There is no tempt taken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to stand, but will with the temptation make a way to escape." And this deacon said to me, the devil's going to come after you, what he didn't know he's already had. He's going to come after you, and you need to know that you will never have a temptation no one else has had. Everybody doesn't have all the same temptations, but there are no unique ones. You'll never have one someone else hasn't had. So he said, "You memorize this verse, and tomorrow I'll check with you on it." So the next day, here he comes. "Did you quote memorize that verse?" "Yes, sir, I did." He said, "Let me hear it." So I quoted it to him. "Well," he said, "that's good. Now I've got another verse for you." He said, "You need to memorize 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." He said, "I've known you all your life, and I know there'll be times when you will yield to the temptation. And you need to know how to get up when you fall." We all need to know that. 1 John 1:9 is how you do it. It's not you're confessing it to one another, you're confessing it to the Lord. If we confess our sins, if we agree with God about our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not sweep them under the rug, but to be quick to agree with God about what sin is in our in our lives. That's important. So some people have doubt because they're not saved. Some people have doubt because they have a misconception of the Christian life. And some have doubts because they have never grown. Never grown as a Christian. They're just sort of static in their Christian life. Let me give you a passage important. It's in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. In Vacation Bible School, we call this sometimes spiritual arithmetic. I want you to listen to it and look at it in your Bibles. Maybe it's on the board. I don't know. Here it goes. And beside this, that is, besides being saved, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. Add these things. Grow as a Christian. And then verse 8 says, and if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord. But if you go on in that verse and you'll read, but he that lacketh these things is blind and hath forgotten. Did you get that word? Forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Here's a person who failed to grow as a Christian, came to the place that they just lost assurance. They forgot whether they'd been saved or not. We need to grow as a Christian. We can't just stand still. We need to grow as a Christian. I like the story I heard one time about an old cowboy out in the panhandle of Texas. He'd never been to church. It was in the summertime, no air conditioning. And he was riding his horse by a church. Windows were up and they were singing. And he was kind of captivated by the music and decided, I'll go in and listen to what they have to say and what they're singing. So he got in, sat down on the back row. Must not have been a Baptist church. There was room on the back row. And went in and sat down on the back row and they sung several songs. And then they had testimony time. And people got up and they began to give a testimony. And there was a recurring phrase in their testimony. The Lord filled my cup. The Lord filled my cup. Finally, one guy stood up and said, the Lord filled my cup 40 years ago. Since then, there ain't none run in and there ain't none run out. This lost cowboy stood up and he said, I have no idea what this cup filling business is all about. But if that cowboy has had a cup full of 40 years and nothing has run in or run out, it's got wiggletails in it. If your spiritual life has not grown and developed, maybe it has wiggletails in it too. It's become stale. The joy of the Lord will not be there anymore. And another reason why we need to understand that it's important that we know the Lord and know that we know the Lord is because of our witness. The Lord wants us to tell other people about Jesus. How long has it been since we told someone else about Jesus? If we don't know for sure that we're saved, we're probably not going to tell anyone. Now let's just suppose this. Here I am. I don't know for sure if I'm saved. And so I go up and knock on the door of someone's house. And they come and open the door, and I say, I'm here from the Hillcrest Baptist Church. Now, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I'm not sure, but I sure would like for you to try it out too. You probably won't get any takers for that one. It's important. And the joy of the Lord. If we're not at the church, we don't have the joy of the Lord. And we don't enjoy the trip as a Christian. You enjoy the trip of your Christian life? Are you having a good time serving the Lord, living for the Lord? Doing the work of the Lord, are you happy in your Christian life? It's important that we know for sure that we're saved. Let me ask you this. What do you base assurance on? Is it on feeling? Sometimes we don't feel real saved, do we? If you're sick, you don't usually feel saved. One fellow said, sometimes I feel so good, I feel like I could swing over hell on a rotten corn stalk. sing Amazing Grace while I spit in the devil's eye. But sometimes we don't feel that well. Assurance of salvation is not based on our feelings. Feelings fluctuate. Feelings are where we touch the world. But it's the fact. Jesus died for my sins. I've trusted Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And I believe what He said He would do is important. And to doubt our salvation is really to question the integrity of God. What did God say? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall what? Be saved. Saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I call on the Lord and I ask Him to save me. And then I don't know if He did or not. What am I saying? I'm saying, I don't know if God keeps His word or not. He said He would, but I'm not sure He did. So the question for us tonight is, do you have that assurance of salvation? Can you look in the mirror and say, I know I'm saved. I don't always do what I ought to do, but I know my faith and trust is in Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord. I hope you have that assurance. I want you to stand with me now for prayer. And we're going to pray. And then after we pray, we're going to sing a song before we go home. And it may be a good time for you and me just to say in our heart to the Lord, Lord, I love You. I thank You for Your love for me and what You've done for me at the cross. And I thank You for that blessed assurance that only You can give, and help me to be faithful in my Christian life. In the name of Jesus, amen.